The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So we've taken a little bit of a pause of moving through the next steps of the 16 steps of mindfulness of breathing to really look a little bit more deeply at this particular way in which the mind works, the use of imagination in the mind. And I'll talk a little bit more about specifically the Buddha's use of this word imagination. And I've read sometimes people say that there's no Pali word for imagination, but there actually is. It's a little bit of translator's choice, but I think there's a good argument, and I'll talk about it tomorrow, the words that have to do with it. And they have a lot to do with, they also relate to this idea of self and not self, which is so important in Buddhism. But for today, I want to, so this kind of pausing to look at imagination is a preparation for next week when we start looking at the mind more carefully and what goes on in the mind, the mental activity. But to create the right conditions for supporting investigation and a deeper letting go in the mind is part of the function of this earlier parts of anapanasati, mindfulness of breathing. And to the more sense of well-being that can come in meditation, the easier it's going to be to really work with the mind. I've told this story many times, but I love this story of when my son was in kindergarten. Once a week, they would play with beeswax, with the little wax, and when it was time for them to play, the wax had been sitting up on the shelf, and it would be usually in the form of whatever animal they made the week before. And they would, but it would be hard. And being hard, it would be brittle. And the only thing you can do with any of it would be to break it. And little animal legs could be broken off easy enough or something. But what they would be instructed to do every week would be to put the little piece of wax they had in the palm, between the palms of their two hands, and just hold it there while the teacher told the story. And by the time the story was over, the warmth of their hands had softened the beeswax so that the, or whatever kind of wax it was, and so that the, then they could make these beautiful little figures, animal figures or whatever it was they made. But you had to have the warmth to soften it. So the same thing with the mind and the heart. In order to make it into something beautiful, to move it towards freedom, it helps to soften it and warm it up. And the good feelings, the calmness, the joy, the happiness, the well-being, the contentment, the calmness that we sit in, are all the kind of creating the right conditions to begin softening the mind so the mind can be more pliable, more flexible, more malleable in the best possible way, so that the healthy mind, the healthy functioning of the mind can operate smoothly and easily. So on the way to do that, the cultivation of these deeper states of well-being that come in meditation, the mind is actually used to do that. The mind is always being used. The mind is being used to apply the attention, to sustain the attention. But it's also used to, it can be used with, supported by the imagination. And the Buddha uses a lot of similes. And rather than thinking about them as being active and intentional uses of imagination when we sit down to meditate, it's more like we learn those similes, internalize them well enough, so that they're kind of in the background of the mind. So the mind associates meditation with those similes in a kind of a natural way. The similes create kind of a positive kind of view, orientation, that supports us to be present. Now, it's very easy to have lots of imagination which is not so helpful. We can carry a lot of unconscious and conscious associations, bias, fears, projections onto our experience, so that we're creating an unhealthy or unsupportive environment for our practice. The simple imagination that I'm a lousy meditator, I can never do this, that's also kind of an imagination. It's kind of an idea, a thought, that creates a certain atmosphere, which is a little bit, in extreme forms, is a self-fulfilling prophecy. If we're completely preoccupied by the idea that I cannot meditate, then you probably can't because of that preoccupation. And so there's also fear. Like there's people who there's fear of what's going to happen if I open my heart in meditation, if I relax and really feel what's here. And there might be some good reasons to have some caution, but to have chronic anxiety and kind of vague imaginary ideas of why or what's going to happen is not really supportive for the process of deepening in meditation. We have to be wise about that anxiety and caution, not feel bad about having it. It's there for reasons, but we want to try to work with it and find another way of being. So when the Buddha offers all these similes, he's kind of seeding in the mind associations and imaginary associations, which then begin to create a different atmosphere for what we're doing and what meditation is about. So whether we bring up these imaginations actively or we just let them sit there in the background, both of those are supported by really knowing these similes, knowing these imaginary kind of scenarios. So this comes into particular play with deepening of concentration, what's called jhanas, deepening states of absorption, that really kind of settling in and really being present in a clear, continuous way, almost like there's a state shift, so that, oh, now I'm here, I'm present, it's clear, I'm here. And the Buddha doesn't give a lot of descriptions, kind of prose descriptions of these states. He describes them a little bit, but to really get a feel for what the Buddha is talking about, he provides similes. Many of the times he talks about, describes what they are, he then follows up with a simile for each of the four of these absorptions. And these similes, if you can kind of feel your way into it let it kind of live in the feeling of it or the sense of it, or almost imagine that you are the simile in some way, then something begins to be kind of an atmosphere, and a context is being formed, an association that awakens something inside of us that's not the imagination, but rather the felt sense of what the Buddha is pointing to. So the imaginations for these similes for deep states of concentration where there's a lot of well-being, three of them use water as part of the simile. And often in the kind of symbolism of the Buddha, water represents the mind. And perhaps the clarity of the mind or the awareness itself of the mind. I think it may be awareness, maybe more than the mind. And so we're getting a sense of how to work with awareness or how to relate to the awareness or how to notice qualities or aspects of awareness as we settle in into the practice. So there are four of these, and I want to read the similes for you, and maybe you can kind of let it sink in for you and kind of imagine that you're somehow this, you can feel this with your body or feel it with inside. The first one begins with an assimile that's very much, in modern world maybe we would associate it with making dough with flour, where you sprinkle water onto the dough and knead the water in until the flour is moist. And in the ancient world, it has to do with taking a certain kind of powder, soap powder that they had, and making that into a kind of a ball. So, just as a skilled bath person or a bath person's apprentice heaps bath powder in a metal basin and sprinkling it gradually with water, kneads it until the moisture wets one's ball of bath powder, soaks it, and pervades it inside and out, yet the ball itself does not ooze, so too a practitioner makes the joy and happiness born of seclusion drench, steep, fill, and pervade this very body, so that there is no part of one's whole body unpervaded with the joy and happiness born of seclusion. So here there's awareness, in kind of my kind of description, that comes along with joy and happiness. So we're sitting in meditation, there's feelings of well-being, and then one gently kind of kneads it, massages it, or spreads it, or expands it through the whole body. So no part of the body is not moist with this goodness of joy and happiness. So it implies that there's a kind of engagement with the process. So not just opening and allowing well-being there, but in a certain kind of way, gently, lovingly, kind of maybe each time we breathe, kind of opening and filling, opening, stretching, letting it kind of ooze or letting it like spread through the body. So there's a little more active involvement, and this is where the mind is a little bit more involved in staying there, stay present, be with it, work on the breath, the in-breaths and the out-breaths. As the mind gets stiller and quieter, there's no more needing, no more work is needed to stay present, no more work to spread anything or cultivating it. And so the next level of absorption, so just as though there were a lake whose waters welled up from below and it has no inflow from east, west, north, or south and would not be replenished from time to time by showers of rain. So there's no streams flowing in from any direction into the lake from the top. It's only an upwelling of a spring from below. Then that cool fount of underwater water flowing up in the lake would make the cool water suffuse, fill, completely fill, and pervade the lake. So there's no part of the whole lake unpervaded by the cool water. In this way, one suffuses and fills and completely fills and pervades this very body with the joy and happiness born of samadhi. No part of the body is unpervaded with joy and happiness born of samadhi. The third absorption, just as in a pond of blue or red or white lotuses, some lotuses that are born and grow in the water thrive immersed in the water without rising out of it. And cool water suffuses, fills, completely fills, and pervades these lotuses to their tips and their roots, so that there is no part of all these lotuses unpervaded by cool water. So one experiences happiness in the same way one experiences happiness with the body that the noble ones describe when abides with happiness of one who is equanimous and mindful. One suffuses, fills, completely fills, and pervades this very body with happiness. No part of the body is unpervaded with happiness. So the joy has stopped, which is more active and energetic, and now it's just happiness. And then the final one just as though a person were sitting covered from the head down with white cloth, so that there's no part of one's whole body enclosed, not enclosed by the white cloth. So one suffuses and fills, completely fills and pervades this very body with mental purity, mental clarity. No part of the body is unpervaded with mental clarity, just as a, so The idea of surrounded by a white cloth, so no part of the body is not touched by this white cloth, is the idea that there's no outside stimulus anymore, and there's no clear, defined body anymore. It's kind of, you can't quite see it, but it's there. It's covered, and it's a softness to it, the soft, clean cloth that touches it everywhere. So we go from working the joy through the body to feeling the joy, so being a very peaceful, quiet lake with whatever we've experienced kind of floating in this stillness of awareness, happy awareness, to becoming so quiet and still that the body begins to recede and very peaceful, safe, quiet, equanimous, and characterized by a kind of mental purity, mental clarity or cleanliness that's there. So this is the closest we get to the Buddha really describing these states of concentration. And I don't know if they mean something for you or whether you kind of they evoke some imagination for you. But if they evoke your imagination, then these are things to kind of take in and internalize a certain way. Some people memorize these descriptions, and then they're there in the background for the mind to kind of perfume itself, or perfume meditation with the association, and associations which might be a lot better than some of the other ways in which your imagination is influencing your experience. So thank you, may you enjoy, and may your joy and happiness have a chance, have the opportunity to spread and pervade and soak your whole body. Don't get so distracted that you don't allow your well-being, happiness, and joy a real chance to really be felt and be experienced in this body that we have. So, until tomorrow, thank you.